This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Strangers in the night.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. MBK writes in, says, the Packers under the most pressure.
Aaron Rodgers under the most pressure. If they weren't playing the Lions, I'd agree.
I think that's his point, is they need to win that game. But the Lions showed some second half life. True. Jared Goff coming in with bad intentions. Okay, it's something to keep an eye on. If the Packers lose that game, it will be very, very bad in Green Bay.
They're not going to lose that game.
I don't think they will either.
Aaron Rodgers going to come out and look like a star again. Prime time. Everybody's going to be like, oh.
Relax.
Yeah, you're going to hear it the whole time.
Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
Stupid man bun he's wearing. Rolling Stones.
I wish I could wear a man bun. Although my hair's getting long. I ain't bald no more, bro.
Look at you. Growing it out, aren't you?
Oh, it looks so bad.
Why don't you shave it?
Might need it for Halloween.
Is that the mindset?
That's what I'm trying to make it to Halloween.
Right around the corner. Right around the corner. Ooh, yeah, so Rolling Stone.
First plans for Halloween? You want to invite me to a party or anything?
If I grow out this hair for a costume
and no one invites me to a party, I'll be feeling pretty
Halloween
stupid.
Is just not really my holiday, John. I'm not a dress-up guy.
I love Halloween.
Why? Just dressing up?
Why is that dressed up? I'm making sure I'm dressed up this weekend. Or this year. It's on a weekend.
Is it? Ooh. Is it on a Saturday?
I think it's on Sunday, but I mean, you know, the 30th will be a good day Halloween stuff.
Yeah, it is on a Sunday.
Walk around all day Sunday in a costume.
I'm just kidding. I already got invited to a party on the 30th. Oh, you can come if you want. I'll get you.
Cool flex, man.
I'll get you.
What was that? Just so you could be like, oh, I got this other party to go to. Is that what you're going to say if I did invite you to a party?
I just wanted to see if you would invite me, but.
Wow.
Anyways, give us some headlines.
You dressing up, Cam?
Oh, absolutely. I always dress up.
You can dress up like so many things.
I love Halloween.
So many people.
So you say.
Yeah.
What are you dressing up as? You already got the costume planned out?
Got some ideas.
Okay.
Got some ideas. Cam always dresses up. Cam will dress up for the show on Friday, probably.
Yeah.
I will not. I just, dressing up's overrated. Is it
you?
Overrated.
I feel like you're in the age where you need to be dressing up, bro.
Am I? I feel like I'm way too old for that.
No, dress up.
Is that the thing? Is it just like you get so old, you used to play dress up as a kid, like you don't get to do
you
that anymore. Halloween's the one time you get to play dress up, basically.
Sweet, dude.
I don't know. Did you watch the Met Gala? Those people were dressing up. It was like Halloween for them.
Yeah, that's their Comic-Con.
Can you give us some hour two headlines, please?
Yes, I was going to let you know. Rolling Stones, who first published their 500 greatest songs list in 2004, went back and did it again. Top 500 songs. You want to name any in the? I was going to say, you want to name some
name
of the
songs on there?
All right, I'm going to start naming songs. You tell me if they're in the top 500, okay?
No, don't do that. Can you name
West Stronger.
It was actually on there.
I know it was number 500. That's the one thing I clicked on. It was like either 400, 500 or 499. That's the one thing I saw.
Do you want to take a crack at maybe some of the top songs rated all time?
I don't know. Stairway to Heaven on there?
Let's see. I'll just look at the top 10 because it's a lot.
You
got to
do the Google search. Just do the search control F.
What'd you say?
Stairway to Heaven. Is that on there?
Stairway to
Heaven. It's got to be top 100, right?
Heaven.
No?
It's not popping up.
I missed the first one?
Then again, I'm only on 50-1 because it's got different sections. Right, so if I look it up, it could be.
Actual guess for number one. I don't know. Is it Let It Be?
No.
Let It Be number one?
It is not. It is a really, really popular song.
Okay, it's really popular.
Yes.
Can you give me, like
everybody knows
it. Can you give
me
a 20-year range at least? Not current, right? Not the last 20 years?
No.
Not the
pretty
last
old.
20 years?
Pretty old, yeah. Actually, yeah, it's pretty damn old.
Is it the Beatles? Is it a Beatles song?
It's not. No. Another, it's famous artist. Really, really.
Is it a band, though?
No. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. It's just.
Okay, just tell me.
Just a name. It's Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. No,
that came to my mind, actually, when I was...
Find out what it means to me.
They just tried Aretha to do promo for the movie?
Yeah, is that it? Like, they got a new Aretha movie coming out?
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Jennifer Hudson's playing her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was born to play
But yeah, that is the number one ranked song of all time.
Give me the top 10. You can start at one.
So yeah, that was one. Number two, Public Enemy, Fight the Power.
Okay. I mean, sure. I mean, Fight the Power is what hip hop is supposed to be about.
Right.
Which is kind of strange because, like, we live in, like, a pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Not chaotic, but it feels like we're living through history right now, it feels like. And, like, we're not going to have any hip hop songs that really represent that, right? Like, are any hip hop artists making songs about, like, the times? Like,
none of it get popular. Like,
right, but I mean, like, back in the day, like, these got popular. Like, Fight the Power was popular. Like, NWA's Bleep the Police was a popular, like, political statement. Like, do we have any of those? Like, is anybody making those right now?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, we're almost in, like, the age where they don't, like radio and stuff isn't going to push that kind of stuff.
I just mean, like, but I feel like we're also in a time and place, Cam, where we don't need radio. Like,
yeah,
we could get pop, like, you can get pop, like, Lil Nas X, Old Town Road was popular before the radio. Like,
that's true.
You don't need that anymore. It just feels like maybe hip hop artists are cowards now. Go ahead and keep on with your list.
Wow.
Well, I mean, like,
calling them out.
No,
I mean, you're all right. You got Drake dropping Certified Lover Boy
instead. Yeah, we're in a time of unrest, and Drake's like, yeah, I'm just going to tell you guys I'm a lover boy.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him. Drake. Get the radio spins. He was like, all of his songs are in the top 40 or whatever. Good for him. But, like, is anybody making any statements? Not really, right?
Not that I know of.
Where's Kendrick at when you need him?
Where is Kendrick? Did he just drop something?
He dropped a verse. I don't think he dropped a full song.
No, what do you mean a verse? Just
like a feature on somebody else's song.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I saw somebody tweeting about it.
Yeah.
I didn't listen. I don't know who's out Top of the Morning.
Yeah, if you see out the Top of the Morning thing, that's Kendrick. Top of the Morning, Top of the Morning.
I didn't see somebody
tweet it. Baby Keem, I believe.
See, I can't keep up with those different rappers, too, man.
Anyways, keep going with the top 10 list.
Number three, we have Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come. That's a great song. Change gonna come.
By the river.
Yeah. What a voice. What a great voice he had. Number four, we have Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone. These are all kind of older.
What is Like a Rolling Stone?
Never heard that?
No, I mean, I've heard it.
Like a Rolling Stone.
Okay. Whenever I'm always about to do Like a Rolling Stone, I always end up with Rhinestone Cowboy in my head.
A little similar.
Okay. That's the fourth best song of all time?
According to Rolling Stone, who keeps up with this kind of stuff.
Seems like they're just trying to be self-serving there since the name of the song has Rolling Stone in it.
You might be right. Number five, we have Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
That's the fifth best song of all time?
That's what they're saying.
You didn't even know that song.
I knew it.
No, you didn't.
I didn't know the name of it, but I knew it.
No.
Like, I've heard it before.
No,
yes.
You didn't know it.
I couldn't sing it.
You didn't know it. I gave you the drum. I said, give me the drum.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard when you get put on the spot like that, when you're just trying to think, like, somebody just names a song, and you're like, well, can't really...
All right, here's a chance now. Here's some redemption. Go ahead. Give us some Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit. You said you got nervous last time. You said you know it. Let's hear it. I didn't know. I admit, I didn't know Like a Rolling Stone, so it's not that embarrassing, although you just tried to lie to everybody and say you knew it.
That's
kind of as you are.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. Let's move on. Yeah. You're just always trying to make me look dumb on
here,
aren't
you? I'm trying to keep you accountable since you're lying to the audience saying you knew the song. You didn't know it.
I do the song. I just couldn't sing it. I feel like a lot of people have that process,
though. Not with that song.
Okay, whatever. Let's move on.
Like, I admit, I didn't know Like a Rolling Stone. I thought Like a Rhinestone Cowboy. I didn't know Like a Rolling Stone.
Okay, that's a good song, too. Number six is Marvin Gaye's What's Going On.
Okay. You know that one?
No.
Oh, you don't?
What's going on?
You know that one if you heard that
probably, one. Probably. The Beatles coming in at number seven. You want to guess what Beatles song would be the highest rate?
I guess Let It Be, because I thought that was the... Is it Hey Jude?
No, it's not.
What is it? I don't know.
Strawberry Fields Forever.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know what the song is. I was going to say, I don't think I know that. And then rounding out the top 10, we have Missy Elliott, Get Your Freak On.
Okay.
Number eight.
All right.
I love it.
Okay. That's the best hip hop song outside of Public Enemy, Fight the Power.
Yeah.
Get Your Freak On. Okay. That
That's a good song, though.
I would like to see the 2004 list. I'm imagining Get Your Freak On and not crack the top 10 in 2004. Get Your Freak On is, it's where she raps backwards, right? She's just going to put her thing down, flip it in reverse, and then wraps it backwards.
Oh, yeah.
And if you, yeah, okay.
Get your freak on.
I do like when she screams, quiet! Hush your mouth! Anyways, keep going.
Fleetwood Mac, Dreams, the song that became extremely popular due to the TikTok video.
I feel like that just got back in the top 10 because of...
Well, I mean, that's really true, though, right? Like, nobody's really listened to that song until he had that video of him drinking the ocean spray.
I won't say no one was, because...
Well, it wasn't...
It made it popular again. Yeah. It went back on the charts and everything. I don't know. I didn't think that was their most popular song or best song.
Yeah. I don't either, but...
Either way.
And then, last but not least, top 10. To round out the top 10, number 10, Outkast. Hey, Yeah. It's a great song. Yeah. Know that one. You don't think it's a top 10 song of all time?
Yeah. I like the way you move better.
I like that one.
Better.
Yeah, that's a good song.
I thought Hey Ya is my go-to.
Hey Ya is good, man.
It's not Outkast's best song, though.
It's a classic, though.
It is my go-to karaoke song, though. All right. Yeah, crowd gets going when you scream the all right.
So what's our thoughts on the overall top 10?
Keep that pulled up. I want to go through 11 through 20 at some point. Give me some more headlines.
All right, we got Kepka. Did you see Kepka getting ripped by Paula Zinger?
No.
So basically he...
who?
Paul Zinger. I don't know who this is, but he's somebody to do with the Ryder Cup, and I guess he maybe played. His history goes back more than 30 years, and it's hard to find anyone more passionate about the competition, even now in his role as a broadcaster. So I guess he's a broadcaster now, maybe played in it back in the day. But basically, you just got Koepka complaining about the Ryder Cup, saying, like, basically the season's over, it doesn't even matter. And, man, Zinger had some thoughts about that. He said, I'm not sure he loves the Ryder Cup that much. If he doesn't, he should relinquish his spot and get people there who do love it. Yeah, that's basically what he said.
Patrick Reed's willing to die to be out there. Get Brooks Koepka out of here. I don't understand how all you people like Brooks Koepka. What's he complaining about now? I don't want to do the Ryder Cup. I saw him complain like, it's just so hard. We have to get out of our routine. We got to be a team.
That's what he said.
Quit whining, Brooks. Bryson's out there with blisters all over his hands ready to go.
Literally.
Patrick Reed's dying to be out there wanting to be Captain America, and you got Brooks, who, by the way, probably isn't even deserving of being on the team right now.
That story of DeChambeau is so funny, though. It reminds me of Andy Bernard. Yeah. You know, he's going to play golf. His hands are just blistered up. He's got him gloved up.
That and running through his nipples bleeding all over the place, too. Did you see Bryson's TikTok?
Oh, God, he pulls up
in like a Bugatti.
Do I want to?
Not really.
Is it cringy?
Yeah, it is.
He's such a cringy guy,
man. Like, how'd you afford that? He says something like, I hit nukes or I hit bombs or something, and then he just like goes to him and his friends like at Topgolf just drilling like long drives. I don't know. I don't know about that guy.
Yeah. That's your boy, man.
I know he's willing to be out there at the Ryder Cup. He's not complaining like Brooks, though.
That's your boy. And shout out to VFL, Alvin Kamara. We know Alvin Kamara, good guy. Good guy, and he's doing even more there in New Orleans, helping them out as he's opening up a juice bar. This guy's kind of getting a little piece of everything, isn't he? The Big Squeezy is what they called. I like the name.
Okay.
Creating jobs, inspire people to follow their dreams, and uplift his community is what the reason of opening Big Squeezy as well. So shout out to
Kamara. Does he donate the profits somewhere?
It doesn't say.
So he's opening a business just to... make some money.
Create jobs.
Anytime you open a
business, inspire people to follow their dreams.
Yeah. His dream was to open a juice bar?
Yeah, my dream is to work at a juice bar. Yes, absolutely.
Like, is that Alvin Kamara's dream? It's like, hey, all my life I've wanted to own a juice bar? Like, if it is, then sure, I'm now inspired. He accomplished his dream.
You seem like kind of an Alvin Kamara hater.
No, I'm not.
I don't know. It seems like every time I bring this guy up, you find a way to put him back down.
I'm not putting him down. It seems strange that it seems like a little weird that somebody opens a business and we're saying he's, you know, creating jobs. Like, yeah, he's also going to make money off of it. Like, that's just kind of how business... Either way, chase your dreams, kids. You too can one day open a juice bar, maybe.
Jeez, what a low bar for a dream.
Staying in the NFL, six-time is a charm, so they say. Josh Gordon, I don't know if you guys talked about this yesterday, but he's coming back. He's coming back, baby. Let's go. He's not giving up on his dream. as he's looking to complete his treatment program and try to get back into the NFL.
That's real inspiration right there. No matter how many times you get banned or kicked out of somewhere, you can always come back. Eventually, they'll let you in.
Is it just marijuana with Josh Gordon? Yeah. Is that the only issue? Right? There's nothing else involved.
I haven't seen anything else.
That's what I thought.
There was some alcohol early on, I think, as well.
Yeah, I was going to say. I feel like there's something else.
Yeah, I want to say that I might be making that up, but I thought there was alcohol.
That's not going to make him like fail the test.
Right. That's not illegal. That was just a part of the substance stuff. But
is this you see him making an impact, or
does it say where he's like favored to end up? Seattle going to bring him back for the fifth time?
I mean, might as well, right? They still kind of need a third wide receiver. But, no, there's been – I mean, you see rumors on Twitter. I mean, the Chiefs were a team just because it's – I guess just the Chiefs. I mean,
they have all this
cap room hanging around somehow.
Yeah, no kidding, though.
Titans team, too. All right, go back to headlines. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. The segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. After a thrilling opening week to the NFL, week two is here tonight. You can log into FanDuel Sportsbook and claim your risk-free bet. That's right. All customers get a risk-free bet for week two of the NFL season. You can use yours on a money line bet, taking an over-under. You can do a prop bet, find a same-game parlay. Use FanDuel Sportsbook on any week two game. Throw some action on it. You win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you get it back. There are so many ways to play. And as always, if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS and also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code TALKSPORTS. Cam, you guys the same game parlay for tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Can we hit one, please? We've yet to hit one of these damn same game parlays. Not just last week when Draven gave us three and went over three, but in our whole inception of the same game parlays, we are yet to hit one. We always come up one leg short.
This is it. This is the one tonight.
That damn Ezekiel Elliott.
I know, man.
Can't believe we trusted him. Ugh.
Cam, what do you got for us?
Okay. I got Antonio Gibson under 70.5 rushing yards.
70.5.
Under?
Yep. Two games against the Giants last year, he didn't touch 40. So I think they're going to use him more in the passing game.
How many rushing yards did the Broncos have?
Well, Melvin Gordon had 100 himself,
yeah.
But
he had a
70-yard run. I don't think they did much outside of that, yeah. But I do think they had, you know, over 70 combined yards, of course, mm-hmm. but not from one individual. Javonte Williams didn't have that, and Gordon had 30 yards outside of that run. So, anyways, we're going under, okay? Yep.
And then I got Terry McLaurin, 60-plus yards on the alternate receiving yards line. Over 60 yards for McLaurin. We got Washington money line. I got Logan Thomas, anytime touchdown score. Giants really had trouble. They just gave up two touchdowns, the two different tight ends. Or gave up a touchdown, the two different tight ends last week. Logan Thomas has a pretty good matchup here. Heinicke threw him a touchdown last week as well. I think that's a good bet. And I got Taylor Heinicke, the throw for 250 yards.
Draven doesn't like it.
It's not that I don't like it. Just
he just hates
Washington. I think. I do. I'm not going to disagree, but I don't think that has anything to do with this. I just don't know. I mean, it's a lot of passing yards, like McLaurin, who I guess what he got 62 yards last week.
Here's what I got. I got two little same game parlays. Just 2 3-leg parlays. Here we go, Draven. Mark it down. One of these is hitting. What's really going to happen is two's going to hit in one, and two's going to hit in the other, and one's going to miss on both, and I'm going to lose. But here's what's going to happen on parlay A. Logan Thomas, touchdown. Cam just told you, tight ends. He loves them. Number two, Taylor Heinicke, a little scramble. Maybe he reaches out for the pylon. Maybe it's a quarterback sneak. Maybe it's a quarterback draw. He scores a touchdown, and I'm taking 11-1. They're going to get the rookie involved with the Giants, Kadarius Toney. Two touches last week, -2 yards. They had to watch the other three first-round receivers go off. I think they're going to try to give him a touchdown in primetime. Plus 24,740. $10 will win you. $2,470. Nice. That's parlay number one. Parlay number two, I'm going to go with two Giants and one Washington football team. Give me Sterling Shepard to score a touchdown.
Okay.
Give me Daniel Jones, also with some running ability. And give me Cam Sims at 11-1.
I like Cam Sims.
$10 to win $3,585. So let's swing for the fences. Those two same game parlays. Draven doesn't like them, which is fine. I mean, it's like long odds on those, obviously.
It is. And it should be.
I think Tony's getting him a touchdown, though. Might just do one by itself with Tony and Sims to score a touchdown. Just root all out for them.
Yeah. I think you're.
I'm about to throw one with Sims. Yeah.
A little touchdowns getting thrown out there.
Well, it's just. No, there's two separate ones. I'm not trying to go 2-0 on the parlays.
I know. I'm just saying.
It's just three touchdowns.
I know.
You know, there's going to be three touchdowns in the game? I mean, Strong
Shepard getting a touchdown.
Strong Shepard was good last week for him.
He was. He was their only good player, really.
That's what I'm saying. Whatever. I don't need your approval. You don't know.
He doesn't know.
Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Ride with us. Also, that one $10 parlay was just a $10 same game parlay refund. So if I lose, they give me the $10 back. So it's a free shot at the $3,500.
That's what I was doing.
Use the promo code TALKSPORTS. You can also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code TALKSPORTS. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. I would ask who this game is bigger for, but it's 0-1 versus 0-1 in the division.
That's not even a question. I think this is Daniel Jones' maybe his biggest game of his career.
So you think there's more pressure on the Giants?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Like, if Daniel Jones can't, and I know Cam hypes up Taylor Heineke, but at the end of the day, he's a backup quarterback. Like, if Daniel Jones can't come out here.
He's a starter today.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. He's a backup.
Congrats on losing the board bet, by the way.
I don't think he's going to.
That's my only loss so far, but yeah.
Anyways, go ahead. What were you saying, Kim? Or Draven, which one were you guys talking?
I think this is the biggest game for Daniel. He cannot get outplayed by Taylor Heineke. You can't. Like, you can't get outplayed by Taylor Heineke. These are two good defenses. It's going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to be which offense is going to be able to make more plays. Like, if Daniel Jones loses this game, the Giants go 0-2. He looks bad again. Another fumble, turnover, interception, something like that. Like, is there going to be anybody vouching for Daniel Jones anymore? Like, there's hardly any more people vouching for him now. But, like, I feel like the narrative would be over for him if he loses again on prime time with everybody watching against a backup quarterback in the Washington football team. I think that would be the last blow for him.
I would say he's not going up against a backup quarterback. He is going up against Chase Young, Montrez Sweat, and a pretty good Washington defense. That's what I understand he's going up against Heineke in the game, but
yeah.
I think we all acknowledge that Washington's defense should be better than the Giants, although the Giants' defense, you know.
Giants' defense was hyped up. Sure. People could say what they want to say. They were talking like this is going to be a top 10, top 5 defense into the season.
They're supposed to be good, but like not as good as the Washington defense was.
Not as good, no.
So I don't know if I would say, like, he lost to Heineke, but like, I mean, I think everybody in New York is under pressure. I mean, Daniel Jones, Dave Gettleman, Jason Garrett, I mean, Joe Judge and his like wacky off season, treating it like college and high school. Like, no, I would say no one in New York is very comfortable right now. But I just thought, like, I haven't seen anyone really talking all year about the Giants being a playoff team or even a chance to win this division, whereas Washington did have some aspirations. And them starting out 0-2 at home would be a pretty bad start for a team that, again, had hopes of being a division champion or at least a wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Giants, sure, at 0-2, they'd be in trouble too for different reasons. Their whole franchise would be in shambles, but Washington, the season would feel like it was slipping out of your hands if you lost your first two home games of the year.
Absolutely.
At least you had the quarterback argument. Like, at least you're like, we don't really have our guy. Like, even if Fitzpatrick's out there, you could still say, like, well, we really still don't have our guy, the future of the franchise.
Well,
the Giants feel
like.
Who?
I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick's not the future of the franchise.
I'm saying
that Daniel Jones
even if Fitzpatrick's healthy, like, they still don't have their guy. Daniel Jones, I feel like, is the guy, right? I mean, or at least trying to be made into the guy.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
Like, that's why I think, like, the Giants don't have a ton of primetime games. I know they play, like, a Monday night against the Bucks later on. But, like, you can't come out here and look bad worse than Taylor Heineke. You can't. You just can't. Like, again, this could be the death blow to his NFL career. Because the Giants, they always get off to slow starts. They're 1-5, 1-6 like they were last year.
On the flip side, if Washington falls to 0-5 versus Daniel Jones, that's
it's also a tough blow.
As the Giants swept them last year. Let's catch a break. We'll come back. We'll hit the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We'll talk to CBS Sports' Jordan DeJani He's a Washington football team fan. We'll get his thoughts as well as week two. He killed his picks in week one.
Nice.
I think he said he went 11-4 leading into Monday night, I believe.
Wow.
Against the spread. Pretty good. Pretty good. He gave us a lock. He said the 49ers minus 7.5. He got the cover there.
Mm. Barely.
Barely.
Cover's a cover.
It is.
Depends when you got it. If you wait until kickoff time, you did not get it, but he gave it to us on Thursday, so he got it. We'll speak to him next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. As we come back, let's hit the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's speak to a red hot Jordan DeJani of CBS Sports. Jordan, what was your overall record against the spread last week?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on. We went 11-5 overall in week one. That's number one in the company of CBS Sports. 4-1 for our top five against the spread picks, including one of my best five bets was taking the Raiders to upset the Ravens on Monday Night Football on the money line. So count that one as well. So coming off of a great week.
Only one way to go.
That's true.
What were your biggest takeaways from week one, Jordan?
Man, you know, the biggest takeaway I had, to be honest with you, was Jameis Winston and his new role inside this New Orleans Saints offense. I mean, I was so curious about what he was going to look like and how Sean Payton was going to try to utilize his strengths and his weaknesses. And what I saw was an offense that relied on their offensive line to set the tempo, Jameis Winston not taking so many shots downfield, relying on his playmakers to make plays, and once in certain points where they lulled the defense to sleep, that's when Jameis Winston was able to unleash the deep ball. And you know what? Jameis Winston, in the NFL, he's one of the best deep ball throwers there is. He has a bad reputation because during his time with the Buccaneers, he would throw the ball down the field probably every two or three plays, so that obviously led to a lot of interceptions. When he can pick his spots and do so in a successful manner, that's when you're going to see Jameis Winston at his best. So they didn't do anything flashy, but he still threw for five touchdowns. Kamara had a great game. This defense, again, is going to be a top-five unit in the NFL. I think we all agree that the Packers are better than the team they showed themselves to be in Jacksonville in week one, but at the same time, I think this Saints team is for real.
I'm still interested in seeing what Jameis Winston looks like when they're behind in a game. So, like, he was able to kind of control the tempo. The Saints were able to make things easy for him because they were up pretty much the entire game. They were in control. Before I crown Jameis Winston as being back and this being a big success, I want to see him fall behind early and see if he starts pressing or not.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think it's a legitimate concern. But at the same time, I think the potential is also there for the Saints to be even better when they start throwing the ball around just a little bit more. I think their leading receiver, I mean, Marquez Callaway just had one catch for 14 yards. Deontay Harris had 72 yards, but that also includes his 55-yard long touchdown, so that doesn't really count for being a consistent presence in the wide receiving game. We didn't see the receivers do a lot, and I think Jameis Winston, you know, we know his strength is being able to throw the ball down the field on those deep hitch routes, whatever it may be. I think that Jameis Winston could be just as successful even if he has to throw the ball more if the Saints are behind.
Quarterbacks, the week one storyline. I gave my top five quarterbacks yesterday. Jordan, I want you to critique them. Tell me who I'm missing. Tell me who you would switch around, okay? So at the top, of course, Patrick Mahomes. Number two, I went with Russell Wilson. Number three, Kyler Murray. Number four, Matt Stafford. And number five, Tom Brady. Your thoughts?
I think that's a pretty good list. Off the top of my head, I don't know what I can necessarily critique. Maybe throw Jameis Winston in there at number six. No, I'm kidding. I love Jameis. But I think that's a good list. And, you know, Kyler Murray, I mean, he seems to be atop the leaderboard when it comes to the way too early MVP race. Now, the Tennessee Titans didn't give him kind of any kind of defense to make him stumble in his game plan. But five total touchdowns, absolutely incredible. They have a tough matchup this week against Minnesota, however. So I like your top five list. I think it's pretty legitimate.
Yeah, I might have been wrong about Cliff Kingsbury. I thought he was going to be the first coach fired. I thought that was going to be a disaster. But his offense looked pretty good. And it turns out Kyler Murray's pretty damn good when he's healthy.
Yeah, that's true. There's no doubt about it. But let's hold off on saying you're wrong just yet. I mean, consistency is the biggest key to success in the NFL, and the Cardinals have yet to prove that they can do that. Kyler Murray doesn't have a winning record as a starter. His best season came last year when he went 8-8. We have to see this team play for a full 17-game season and have that same kind of offensive success. On paper, I really like this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball as well. But again, we got to see this success for a long amount of time or an extended amount of time, not just one week when this Tennessee Titans team came out and they offered no resistance. They were not on the same page on either side of the ball. They didn't win in any facet of the game. This could be a four-way matchup if things, you know, go wrong for the Arizona Cardinals. So the Minnesota Vikings are not an amazing team. They lost in week one, but at the same time, they can probably provide some more resistance, at least defensively, against Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I thought the Titans' pass rush looked a little better and was actually like getting to Murray, but Murray was able to escape and run around because he is just a freak athlete. So I did feel a little bit better about the defense in that regard, but some weird play calls from the Titans defensively. I don't think they should run the play again where Kevin Byard is stuck guarding DeAndre Hopkins in the slot one-on-one near the goal line. That was not fair. Of the quarterbacks who struggled week one, Jordan, we got Josh Allen, we got Aaron Rodgers. I'll throw Lamar Jackson in there. Who are you most concerned about moving forward this season?
Out of the stars, I'm not exactly sure. You know, I think a big spotlight's on Josh Allen, but I think we all agree that he's still one of the better quarterbacks in this league, and he's going to have a successful career. When you posed the question the way you did in terms of quarterbacks being under pressure, one guy stood out in my mind, and that's Daniel Jones of the New York Giants. You know, the New York Giants fan base entered this season with a new level of optimism, and it was one that it was unwarranted, in my opinion. He didn't have a great outing against the Denver Broncos. They scored just 13 points. He didn't have Saquon Barkley to really work off of, but at the same time, you expected more out of this team and out of this offense. He had a huge fumble in the second half that ultimately led to the 14-point defeat they suffered. So now they walk into Washington tonight. You know, they're going to play a backup quarterback. And while Daniel Jones, I mean, he's 4-0 against Washington, which is pretty incredible, especially when you consider that he's 4-19 against everyone else in the NFL. If Daniel Jones suffers his first loss to Washington tonight to a backup quarterback in prime time when all eyes are watching how fast this product is or this prospect is trying to develop, that could spell very bad things for the New York Giants.
Yeah, last week I made the prediction. I think that you'll see Jason Garrett fired tomorrow. I think with Daniel Jones losing to the football team tonight, I think that'll be enough on prime time to get him canned. They haven't been very good. Daniel Jones hasn't gotten any better. They've scored 17 points a game with Jason Garrett. And you got to blame somebody, so I think he'll be the first head to fall. Do you think Washington wins tonight?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's exactly where my lean is. I didn't make it one of my top five best bets. And in fact, if I'm going to bet the spread, I think I'm actually going to buy a full point down to 2.5. But that's where my lean is. And it's interesting because when Ryan Fitzpatrick went down with his injury, usually Vegas takes that game off the board, and it could be for several days. It was fascinating that Vegas did not do that. That line remained up there against the Giants because not only Washington has faith in Taylor Heineke, but Vegas seems to have faith in him as well, especially going up against a subpar opponent in the New York Giants. Heineke isn't a star in this league, but he's somebody who can throw the deep ball. He's somebody who can work off of his playmakers, and he has a really good defense to back him up as well. So he can win this game. I am leaning towards Washington in this matchup. I would stay away from the total. I would stay away from the spread. I think I might throw it in a money line parlay. And again, I think I'll buy a full point towards Washington.
Speaking with a red hot Jordan DeJani, 11-5 against the spread last week on CBS Sports. He's with us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. You hit your best bet with us last week. You gave us the San Francisco 49ers -7.5. What do you got for us week two? What is your best bet of the week two lines?
You know, I'm going to continue to fade the Indianapolis Colts here. I think I'm going to roll with Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, even though your co-host there thinks he's washed, he threw two 50-yard-plus touchdown passes in week one against the Bears. That matches the amount of 50-yard touchdown passes recorded by the Rams all of last season. Stafford also recorded a career-high passer rating in his first game with the Rams, the first player in NFL history to win his team debut by passing over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. We also saw the emergence, maybe emergence isn't the right word, but we saw how lethal the duo of Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp could be at Matthew Stafford's disposal, how great they are at catching the deep ball. The Colts secondary is pretty trashy if we watch week one and watching the film on that game. Don't count out Van Jefferson either. I love that wideout out of Florida. He's going to have a role in this offense. As for the Colts, I mean, Jonathan Taylor, he looks like a stud, but that's not enough on offense. They lost by double digits to the Seahawks, and now they have to take on one of the best defenses in the NFL. Guys, I'm laying 3.5 with the Rams on Sunday.
Lock it in, Los Angeles Rams, -3.5. You can check out the rest of Jordan's picks at CBSSports.com. What else are you working on over there? I saw you said you talked with Davante Adams. How were his spirits after week one?
Yeah, I had a great conversation with Davante Adams yesterday. That article should be up here in a few minutes, I think. And one of the biggest takeaways I had with him was, you know, it's fascinating seeing the narrative of people, what they believe about this Packers franchise entering this year. There's some people, there's one contingent that believes the Packers are in no way going to make it back to the conference championship game, that Aaron Rodgers is mailing it in, they're not made for success moving forward. But there's other people in another camp, and this is where I reside, that think that this sets up a last dance narrative for Green Bay, something that's almost like a kick in the rear where they can get over the hump, potentially get back to the Super Bowl, and maybe hoist another Lombardi trophy. So I asked Davante Adams, you know, is there a renewed sense of optimism entering 2021? And to be honest, John, I expected him to respond saying, like a PR answer, right? He's like, no, the goal's always the same, yada, yada. No, he emphatically confirmed what I hypothesized in terms of this renewed sense of optimism for the Packers. It's just week one. He pulled out the same Aaron Rodgers quote, telling everybody to relax. The Packers are going to be just fine. So I'm fascinated to see how this team operates moving forward.
R-E-L-A-X. Did he spell it out for you like that?
He did not spell it out for me. I wish he did, but it was still good.
Unlucky. Jordan, appreciate you as always. Give Jordan a follow on Twitter at Jordan Dejani. Read his work on CBSSports.com. Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jordan joined us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Again, G3HelpMe.com. Back on the program. It'd be so cool to be the number one in the gambling on CBS Sports. That would be pretty cool. That's a nice flex for Jordan. Happy for him.
Yeah.
Happy for him. Talking about pressure in this game tonight. What kind of pressure are we under for Saquon Barkley?
Is he even going to play?
He's questionable, but I think, yeah. But, I mean, there was a stat that he was, like, the least productive running back, like, as far as he was running side to side more than he actually got, like, actual yardage. But he also, I know they said they were easing him back in. He did play under 50% of snaps last week. But at the same time, 2.6 yards a carry, just being unproductive. Ugh. Ugh. I don't know if pressure is necessarily the word for him, because I think people are kind of almost just at the point where like, hey, yeah, the Giants suck. This stinks for him. But at the same time, you do expect him to do something.
I was going to say, is it just the offensive line, or is it becoming like a little bit of a Saquon problem? Because, like, I mean, I remember last year to open up the season, they had, what, the Monday night game against the Steelers, if I'm not mistaken. And Woody, I believe he had, like, 12 carries, 10 yards in that game as well. Like, literally had less than 1 yard per average, basically.
He struggles against good front sevens, and he got another one tonight.
Like, when's the last really good game we remember from Saquon? Like, a game that was
that
just
we remember? I don't remember any good games from Saquon.
I can't tell you.
The run all over, was it the Ravens a couple years ago? Was that it? He went up against a good defense, like, his second game. Maybe even the second game of his rookie year. Like, it's been a long time since Saquon's had a good game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I always talk about it, but the pick was so dumb just because, again, I think if you're drafting a player like him or, like, a Kyle Pitts in the top five, like, you better have a really good team around them. Those are, like, luxury picks.
Or at least a good offensive line. At least an offensive line where you could push people around a little bit.
But, like, that's a move that, like, hey, we got everything settled. We don't need anybody else. I mean, at the end of the 2019 season, he had 22 rushes, 189 yards, four catches for 90 yards. So he had 270 total yards. Against 280 total yards against the Washington football team. I guess they're the Redskins at that point. Scored two touchdowns against them. But that was December of 2019. So we're getting a little bit of ways away from that.
Yep. Hmm.
I mean, do we expect him to do anything tonight against Washington's front seven? Like, do you expect it to get any better? Because I don't. And that's another thing that I think kind of goes back to Jason Garrett, was he was brought to the Giants to basically kind of have the Ezekiel Elliott effect a little bit, right? Just kind of having the young stud running back running wild a little bit, improve this offensive line, all that. Work off play action, throw it to the tight end a little bit, use him. Ingram is at that Witten role a little bit, like Romo was using him as. But, I mean, 10 carries, what, 26 yards to start the season?
I mean, it was still a terrible hire for Jason Garrett.
Well, so yeah, I'm not trying to make it sound like it was a good hire, but that was kind of the whole point, and it's not going well at all. Like, you've not seen any improvement in Saquon's game. Obviously, the injury didn't help, but
yeah. Like, it seemed like a bad hire at the time. It seemed like a funny hire. Like, what are we doing? And then it's, you know, gone on that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone exactly how you would think it would go.
So you like the football team tonight?
I mean, I don't know. 4-0 against the, you know, Daniel Jones is the one team he plays good against.
Daniel Jones, 0-5 in primetime.
He is 0-5 in primetime, though, so something has to give. Maybe there'll be a tie.
Could see it. Low scoring tie. That's what we need. 10-10.
Taylor Heinicke going to handle business, dog.
Do you like Washington tonight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
By how many?
Yeah, like 4. It'll be like 24-20.
So just right at the spread?
Yeah.
Nice little sweat.
Yeah, you still feel good about Washington winning the division there?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the other teams? Like, one team has their entire defense hurt.
Only team I'd be concerned with is the Eagles, to be honest.
Yeah.
Can we stop it with the Eagles? No.
They were flying around. Like, I was led to believe they were going to be the worst team in the league.
I tried to.
Cam, no offense to you, man, but the Falcons looked awful. They looked like they couldn't block me out there at defensive end. Like, yeah, I'll give the Eagles a little bit of credit. Yeah. Their defensive line is still pretty good. I kind of thought they'd take a step back, some older guys. Their defense is still pretty good. But, like,
you thought that part of the team was going to be a downslide?
Well, I mean, that was kind of been their strength the last couple of years. So I thought, yeah, a couple older guys. Derek Barnett's pretty much not done anything since he stripped Tom Brady in a Super Bowl 4 years ago. So, yeah, I thought their defensive line would kind of take a step back. Their defensive line's still really good. But the whole Jalen Hurts hyping him up, I think, is a little too much. Could agree with that, right? A little too much? A little too soon? Falcons defense. Don't tell Cam, but, I mean, Falcons defense is terrible.
I mean, I think Carson Wentz was terrible last year, so I think Jalen Hurts could be a big upgrade
about defense.
There.
Lord have mercy. No, I think the Eagles did lots of good things. I like the game plan they had. I thought their coach came in with a really good game plan, and I think that's a sign of optimism for them, is the way he just...
What was that? Just go tackle Matt Ryan? What was the game plan? I didn't watch any
No, their offensive game plan was really good. Like, they really played... They did a really good job of playing the Jalen Hurts' strengths. And, I mean, that's what you have to do. Sometimes people just...
They ran a lot of RPO, read option stuff as well.
Yeah, they
kind of
went almost the college route with it a little bit.
Just kind of like, hey, the Falcons' defense can't do anything, so here's what we're going to do.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But, hey. Yeah. No, they play to the strengths. You
goodness,
know, a lot of time
a
people come in.
And a defense. How do you get up on Sundays?
Very slowly and painfully, but I do it. I'm ready.
How do you convince yourself every week that the Falcons are going to, this is the day they're going to turn the corner? Again, the
it.
Offense.
It's only 1 week.
No,
give them a break.
The offense sucks and the defense sucks. Like, at least with the Titans, when they lose, like, usually the offense plays good, and that didn't happen on Sunday, so. But I've been dreading this week because of it. This has been Cam's reality for the last, like, 3 years, and he's still bright-eyed and bushy-tailed out and getting up on Sundays.
Yeah. I was up at, like, 9 a.m. this past Sunday.
I was ready to go.
I had my jersey on at 9:07.
At what point do you look in the mirror on Sunday and be like, what am I doing?
Usually when I get home at like 3 in the morning.
Okay.
Not knowing where I am.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah, it's fine. We're going to beat the Bucks this week. Don't worry.
You're going to beat the Bucks this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
I do kind of think they might cover.
We're going to do it.
There's a big gap in the NFL between covering 12.5 points and winning the game, just for the record.
I know that. I'm just saying. Do think they at least cover.
I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. I'm going to will them to victory. I'm going to yell.
You're
really
going to will them to victory.
Yeah. If I have to show up like I did the Hawks and will them to victory, I may have to do it.
Is the game in Tampa?
Yeah. I think I could go to Tampa.
You're going to go away to Tampa?
I don't know. I don't really want to go to Tampa.
I don't think you could go will them to victory. But either way, you asked if I'm worried about the Washington football team's chances of winning the division. I mean, we'll see what Heinicke looks like tonight. I mean, I thought Heinicke looked fun. I knew there was a chance when I picked them that he would be the starting quarterback anyways, just because, you know, Fitzpatrick is Fitzpatrick, and he can either get hurt because he's old, or you know, being consistent, they have to make a change. I think Heinicke's fine. He's probably one of the two or three best backups in the league. Maybe the best backup. I don't know who else would be. Outside of, like, you know, Trey Lance and Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's without even thinking Heinicke's great. Like, I mean, I just don't know who the best backups would be. Mariota's hurt already.
He's going to ball out tonight.
How does he get hurt? How does that happen?
Marcus Mariota.
My goodness.
He's Marcus Mariota. That's why.
Telling you, John.
They need a win tonight.
They do. If they don't win tonight, it could be ugly. Their schedule is brutal. It's brutal this next, like,
That's why I was saying last, you know, before we talked to Jordan, that I think they're under the most pressure. You said New York is. I think Washington is, just because, mm-hmm. you know, they have aspirations and the season could go off the rails pretty quickly. New York at Buffalo, at Atlanta, New Orleans, Kansas City, at Green Bay, at Denver.
Sheesh.
Their first 8 weeks before bye weeks. I mean, that could be six playoff teams. You know, mark out Atlanta, mark out the Giants. Those other six teams might be playoff teams.
So seven playoff teams, wow.
And then it doesn't get any easier after that bye week with Tampa Bay.
It's not.
So, no, this is a must win. You got to win in your division if you're Washington and you want to be good this year. So,
by the way, the Cowboys, just going back to last year, they don't play after Tampa Bay, they don't play another team that made the playoffs until right before Thanksgiving, the week before Thanksgiving.
Who cares about the Cowboys?
We're
talking about Washington.
We're talking about the division.
Washington.
Okay.
And the
Eagles. I'm just saying.
Tell me about the first place Eagles, not the Cowboys, who are 0-1.
The Cowboys have, again, a pretty favorable schedule up until
The bad part
November,
is that you're going to have to learn.
Late November.
Cowboy Draven is that when you have a defense like the Cowboys have, no games are going to be easy.
I'm not going to disagree.
I learned that the hard way with the Titans last year. No game's going to be easy when you have a defense like that. Like, here
you
we were.
You can also still win 11 games
if you have Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, you can, and Ryan Tannehill. I don't know if you have any of those guys on the team. But, I mean, like, week 17, there we were having to win a 37-34 shootout with Houston to hit a deep pass to beat a team that was terrible. Like, when you have a defense as bad as the Cowboys is, every game's going to be
tough. I think you're maybe blown out of proportion just a hair. They forced four turnovers, right? I mean, they did a lot more than the Titans defense did Sunday.
In one game.
Okay, just saying, exactly. It's been one game.
See how many turnovers they forced against Justin Herbert.
By the way, the Eagles, Chiefs coming up, San Francisco this week, Tampa coming up, at the Raiders, at the Panthers.
Sounds like Washington's division to lose. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines.